yes, indeed. Walking by faith. Thank you, choir. Appreciate you and orchestra. Thank you, Brother John. Take your Bible this morning, and let's go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll read the first two verses in 2 Timothy chapter 2, rejoicing with each generation. Each generation we rejoice, generation to generation to generation. Paul speaks to Timothy about that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Listen now as I read, because this is the word of our great God. You therefore, my son, now this is Paul, he's speaking to Timothy. You therefore, my son, to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul to Timothy, take these things, what I've taught you, give it to faithful men that they might be able to teach others also. How do you become a great surgeon? How would you become an Olympic runner? How do you become an effective parent? Well, a young surgeon hangs out with a senior surgeon, and they learn and watch from them. A runner has a coach, and that coach sees them along the way. A parent has role models. Hopefully, good parents themselves. But even if you've had poor parents, you can have other role models around you that will help you to become good and effective parents. The same is true in the Christian life. How do you become a follower of Jesus that is effective and pleasing unto the Lord? Well, Paul said, Timothy, get these things I've given you. Then you teach them the faithful men. And those faithful men, according to verse 2, will teach others also. Now listen. A core principle of biblical discipleship is this: spiritual reproduction. One of the core teachings and principles, if you're going to make disciples, is spiritual reproduction. One trains another, trains another, trains another. And in this church for 125 years, we have had generation after generation after generation passed down to the next generation, the truths of the Word of God. I want to show you about a minute video clip. Keep it in mind, because at the end of the message, I'm going to come back and show you another clip that will build on this particular one. But watch these two ladies as we think of this core principle of spiritual reproduction.
You know, Jan, I've been thinking over the years about someone that really poured into my life when I was a young woman, and her name was Kim Gray. I knew that when she spoke truth to me, it was from His Word and not necessarily what the culture or the world suggested that a young mom or a young married woman should say or think. And so she really poured into my life, and I'm so grateful for her.
You know, I had a similar experience with a woman who was a Bible study teacher at Olive. She did a community-wide Bible study teacher, Barbara Goodrow. And She had this vast knowledge of the word that she taught with great skill, but the thing that she really transformed my life with was really equipping me to be an individual disciple of Christ. And she just helped me see how important a growing relationship was with Him. She had just a love to do that, that as I've had a chance to share with other younger women coming behind me, I just see what it's such a blessing. Yes. I get so much as I've had the chance then to share, and I'm just will be eternally grateful.
Two faithful ladies here in our church speaking about other faithful ladies that have poured into them, and we could multiply that story thousands, literally thousands of times in this church family of how one teaches one, one teaches another, and Paul teaches Timothy and Timothy to faithful men and faithful men giving it to others. That's what it's all about. And today we rejoice in that generational teaching of this core biblical principle of spiritual reproduction. Now, I want to think with you this morning about three characteristics of a disciple. I want to challenge you to be a disciple. And if you are one, there'll be these three characteristics in your life. Number one, let's jump right in. First of all, is that you have a personal relationship with Jesus. You'll never be a disciple until you have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A disciple knows that God loves you. A disciple has willingly repented of his or her sinful life, understanding that they are not righteous but unrighteous, that they are without God and they are in need of a Savior, and they have repented of their sin. They have then confessed their faith with their mouth. They have believed in their heart that Jesus lived, died, rose for them, and they have become a Christian. Now listen, not just a believer, but a follower. Not just a hearer, but a doer. A disciple is active in faith. And I want to show you four things out of the Word of God. One passage in John and three in Luke, just Jesus teaching about what it means to be His disciple. If I were to ask you, are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus this morning, then here's how you weigh that in your own life. Number one, John 14:15, the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So number one, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you are obeying what he has taught you. You come to the word, you find the principle, and you decide yay or nay. And if you're going to be a disciple, you keep his commandments. Number two, in Luke's gospel, chapter 14 and verse 26, Jesus said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. You said, preacher, if all you got to do is hate your daddy to follow Jesus, I'm in. Well, understand what Jesus is teaching us here. It will look like that you despise your own family in the way that you love the Lord Jesus. He is first. He is over and above your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sisters, and then that we normally don't quote in this text, but it is so very important, even your own life. Tell you, if you don't love Jesus more than you love you, you can't be his disciple. You got to get over you and your kin. He's got to be more than all if you're going to be his disciple. You keep his commandments. You love him more than any other. Thirdly, in Luke 14, verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he said, well, I got a cross to bear. Be careful. You say, well, this person's a cross, I have to bear it. What do you do on a cross? Friend, you die on a cross. It's an implement of death. And so you pick up your cross. You die to yourself. You will never, ever be a disciple of Christ until you die to yourself. It's not what you want, it's what He wants. It's not what your mama wants, it's what He wants. It's not what your family and your wife says you've got to, it's what the Father says. And you come to the cross and die. You keep His commandments, you love Him more than you love yourself, you take up the cross. And then in Luke 14:33, look at this. So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all of his possessions. You got to come to the place that you love Him more than you love what's in your bank account, more than what's in your 401, more than what's in that life insurance policy of which you are the beneficiary. You've got to love God more than all of those possessions. You die to those. The love of money is the very taproot of all evil. And Jesus said you've got to come to the place that you don't worship that money anymore. You give that over unto me. You trust me. Or you can't be my... I'm telling you, that's pretty tough sledding right there. Obey what He says. Love Him more than you love family or self. Carry your cross to death. And then to give up possessions to say, Lord, I trust You with my well-being, with my rent, with my car payment, with my health insurance, with my Social Security check. Lord, more than all those possessions, I love You. That, my friend, is not just a believer. That is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first characteristic is a personal relationship with Jesus. Now listen to me. Friend, He is alive. And He speaks to you. And you are related, rightly related. If you're a disciple, you have a relationship with Him. You talk with Him. He talks with you. You speak with Him. He speaks with you. You meet Him early in the morning. He never sleeps. He's awake whenever you rise. He never slumbers. He's always there. He's always available. Cry out to Him. He is your God. He is ever present. And we are to have that kind of relationship. Number one is that we have a personal relationship with Jesus. Number two, the second characteristic of a disciple is a relationship with an older, wiser believer. Now listen, a disciple learns from another, but now listen to me, hear me now. On the Warrington campus, get this. Not only do you learn from another, you are attached to another. You're attached because they are training you. Jesus followed His Father, John 5:19. Jesus said to us in John 1:43, follow me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, you in Corinth, follow me. I am your example. Paul told Timothy, look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. You just back up two or three pages there. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, when you read the Word of God, look what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 12. Let no one, Timothy, look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself what? An example. Be an example to those who believe. Don't let people tell you you're too young. Listen to me, church. You cannot be too young for Jesus to use you. We need a youth revival in our churches. Unbelievable what I saw in social media this week about the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees. Focus on the Family has an emphasis on the third day, I believe it's the third day, the first Thursday of October. Of trying to get every teenager to take a Bible to school with you on Bible Day. Let's take a bow. 1971, I fell under full Holy Ghost conviction that I should start taking my Bible to school. During the Jesus Movement days. I'll remember it like you said. I took my Bible and I put all my books on top of it. I started in the front door of Pisgah High School, and I can hear even the Spirit of God to today. The Spirit of God said, move the book. Take it from the bottom to the top. If you're going to tote it, let it be seen. Do you know it's amazing how this book talks? You can take that book where you work. You just lay it up there on the corner of your desk. Let me tell you, a witness will be had. It usually looks a little different. Most of the time when I go in the hospital, I take a little leather-bound New Testament with me. I just keep it in my hand. You'd be amazed how people just look at that book. They know what it is. Drew Brees came out. They asked him, Focus on the Family did, if he would make a video. He did. Less than 90 seconds, Drew Brees encouraged teenagers to carry their Bible on Bible Day in October. I'm amazed how the liberal left came against that quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. They called him a hateful racist. They said, you're hateful because you believe what Focus on the Family believes about abortion, therefore you're a racist and you're hateful and you're mean-spirited. And all Drew Brees did was ask young people to carry their Bible to school. Well, I'm not a New Orleans fan, but I'm a saint. And let it go out from this pulpit, I would to God every teenager would carry their Bible on Bible Day, and I would they'd carry it every day that they go to school. And if you come to the place that they tell you can't carry that book, you come see me, I'll go with you, and we'll deal with that, and we'll deal with the principal, we'll deal with somebody, we'll go get a court lawyer if we need to. We're sick and tired of the day you tell a teenager you can't even carry the Word of God with you into a classroom. God help us. If I was sitting on the throne, I'd burn America down today. Thank God for the remnant and for the grace and the patience of a living God. Oh, I would these kids. Well, they might do it if their daddy would take it to their office. They might do it if you just put one on the dashboard of your car. I used to go out in a little country church where I pastored. Some people come to church, they take their Bible and they lay it up in the back window all week long. They get ready to come to church next Sunday, they go get the Bible out of the back window. I'd see them, they'd get out of church and they'd throw the Bible up in the back window. And you could tell, the top of it just be curled up from the heat. You left it out there this week, it'd be smoking, wouldn't it? I guarantee you. That leather'd be cooked. You could probably wrap it up and eat it. This book, we ought to use it. We ought to take it. But we ought to take the truths of it and learn from an older, wiser believer. It's what he said right here. And then he said in verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident. That people will see you on the grow. Every believer has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And secondly, every disciple should have a relationship with an older, wiser believer. Somebody that's training and speaking into your life. I was a young man at 15 when God began to deal with me. At about 16 when I got serious, 17, called to preach. There was an old man in the Pisgah church where I grew up. His name was Claude Wheeler. Brother Claude was one of the wisest, most godly men in our church. I would go on Monday night and we'd go on outreach and Brother Claude would be there. I'd get in the car with him and we'd go visiting. I thought we were going soul winning, but what we were going was disciple building. Oh, we led a few people to the Lord. We invited some people to church, but I tell you, the great part of that issue was not going in the homes of people we were trying to reach. It was riding to those houses with Brother Claude. He talked to me about my date life. He talked to me about my Bible study habits. He talked to me about the way I live my life in front of other people. He talked to me about my preaching. This is an elderly gentleman. He worked in a sawmill. That's what he did for a living. He had the roughest hands that you'd ever shake. You could just all but strike a match on them. He stood, you could ask my mother, had the straightest spine in the history of mankind. He stood up tall and straight. And you looked at him, he wasn't an arrogant man. He just stood up straight. You'd see him. And I used to love it when they'd call on him to pray in church. Everybody got extra quiet when Brother Claude started. It's like he really knew who he is talking to. That old man poured into my life. When he died, they asked me to speak at his funeral, but I couldn't go. But I wrote a letter. They read it at that service, they tell me. And I just thanked him for pouring into me. Do you realize down through the years how people have poured in to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation in this church? You don't have to have a seminary degree or a Bible degree to do that. You just got to have a Bible. There's no excuse today for not knowing your Bible. There's so many tools everywhere. You got to be careful which tool you pick up. But there's so much that you can have in. You should avail yourself to that and humble yourself before an older believer. And you, some of you, should be that older, wiser believer to a younger. Just take them. From time to time, I'll invite high school or college students just to meet me somewhere at a Starbucks or whatever and just sit and talk. From time to time, I have a group of men I handpick and invite to be with me on Wednesday night and just pour into their life. Take a book in the Bible or a book we're reading together and just walk through it. I am responsible to be an older, wiser believer. You live your life and it's hard to believe you ever become older. You certainly don't think you're wiser, but you're supposed to be. As you move into the fourth quarter of your life, you ought to have some people that are back in the second quarter that you're bringing along. I'm in the fourth quarter. I realize that. I've already lived more than I'm going to live. I'm in the first 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, but I'm in the fourth quarter. You never know what minute you're in. That's where I hope I am. But I now feel this responsibility more and more to pour into people's lives, to next Sunday night, we'll go out here and dedicate this counseling ministry. Rachel Crowley is going to be our lead counselor out there. Her daddy, Dennis Wilson, probably in my tenure here, has discipled as many young men as anybody I know. Big D, we knew him. There are young men that are leading all over this church today that Dennis put his arm around and took them soul winning and trained them up. He traveled with me around the world. I counseled him. He counseled me. I'm simply telling you that if you're going to be a disciple, one of the characteristics is that you have a relationship with an older, wiser believer. But now the third characteristic, not only do you have a personal relationship with Jesus and a relationship with an older, wiser believer, thirdly, you have relationships with younger believers. That's what Paul said here to Timothy. He said, I'll teach you, you teach others, and they will teach others too. This is called the ministry of multiplication. It's where you invest your time and your talent and your treasure in others. Listen, if you're going to go do something for ministry, don't ever go by yourself. If you're going to visit a hospital, take somebody younger with you. If you're going to do some work in somebody's yard to help them, take younger people with you. Take them along. Let them watch. Let them see. Let them get it. How does a surgeon learn? They learn from an old. How does a runner learn? They learn from a coach. How does a parent learn to parent? There's no book comes with that. They just give it to you on day three and say, take it home. We're tired of it. You go. Sure, your mama comes. She stays about 2 days and then she says, it's yours. But then God sends somebody along and says, it's going to be all right. This is the way you do it. You ought to be coming alongside somebody and say, this is the way you do it. I had a call yesterday from an elderly woman in this church. Very much burdened about another. And then she named two or three others and said, we together are trying to do this ministry. That's the way you're supposed to do it. That's illustration for sermon tomorrow. But together we go, and we're about that. You see, it's more than teaching. Thank God for teachers, but it's more than teaching. Building disciples is more than teaching. You see, a teacher shares information, but a discipler shares his life. A teacher aims at the head. A discipler aims at the heart. A teacher measures knowledge, but a discipler measures faith. A teacher is an authority, but a discipler is a servant. A teacher says, listen to me, and a discipler says, follow me. You teach, yes, but you disciple even the more. As you take people along with you. Take them along with you. I'm frustrated. I hate old. I don't hate old people. I just hate old. Hate every bit of it. And nothing fun about it. You get a little discount. And you get a little encouragement, but I hate old. I just hate it. It's not fun. Oh, you get grandkids. That's but they grow up and think you're stupid after a while. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You're going to get old. You are? Your balance is going to go. You're going to look in the mirror and say, my Lord. People talk about you and you can't hear. You don't mind. And if you didn't have these, you couldn't see. Ecclesiastes talks about all this. Talks about your grinders, your teeth. They go bad. But now listen. You dare not get old without becoming wise. And if you don't have anything to share with the next generation, you have failed miserably
as a disciple? You should have something to give. I was in Atlanta 2 weeks ago and went to dinner with a bunch of young people, young preachers. We went to where they wanted to go eat. It's a big warehouse building, been turned into a restaurant. Urban Two Licks, they call it. I couldn't hear anything. It was so loud in there. Every surface was hard. And in a moment, one of them said, "Brother Ted, what do you think?" I said, "I don't know. I can't hear what you're saying." And all the way on the other side of the restaurant, some old man was sitting over there, and he said, "That's right." Listen to me, the next generation wants your insight. They long for your wisdom. You can't beat them in the head with it, but I'm telling you, if you'll spend time with them, they'll ask for it. Yes, they will. I went to Jacksonville a few days ago. Nathan Brown, who used to be one of our young interns, I had to get over to Jacksonville. I said, "Nathan, how about you drive? I'll ride." He said, "That sounds great." He drove. We had seminary class all the way to Jacksonville. I learned some things myself. Let me let you know a little secret. The young generation also teaches the older generation. Oh, yeah. If you got ears to hear, the Spirit of God is teaching them, that'll teach you. And if you've got ears to hear, you'll receive things that you can teach them. The church must be multi-generational in our culture. We're all different, we know that. I mean, I do not understand ripped jeans and tattoos. I don't understand none of that. Why would you tear your pants? I don't understand. But it's the style. I remember style. Oh, man, 1969, 1970. Ooh. Bell-bottom pants. Y'all remember that? No socks. I see all these guys on TV now wearing their good shoes, no socks. We was doing that 40 years ago. My mother, you can ask her, I wouldn't wear socks. She made me wear socks. I'd walk to school. I'd get halfway to school. I'd sit down, take my socks off, put them in my back pocket. Collars on your shirt stick out past you over here. Remember those collars? Take 1,000 polyesters to make one of those shirts. You have to kill 1,000 polyesters to make a shirt. I remember the Christmas I wanted a polka dot shirt, and I didn't get one. I begged for a polka dot shirt. It's the ugliest clothes in the world. It's just stuff. It's just the generation. Don't get mad about it. It'll go away. They'll get tired of sticking stuff in their nose after a while. Don't worry about it. Tattoos, they'll go away after a while. They'll get done with that. As soon as the eagle lands, they're going to get done with it. I'm just telling you, it'll change. It'll be something else. What won't change? Bless God. Listen to this preacher. This doesn't change. You need to give this to your children and your children's children's children. And we've got a dearth in the land today because mom and daddy won't teach children and they won't teach their children's children to obey and do what God says do. Timothy, teach them that they might teach others also. I'm grateful to God for a church where that's been going on. It goes on here. And it's in classes, but it spins out of that, and this one knows that one. And Let me show you just a little video to add on to that first. I want you to see this. And then we're going to come to an invitation time. I want to invite you to Christ today. Watch this right here. Just a little longer than the first one.
So many people have poured into my life over the year, over the years, luckily for me. But one of them has definitely been Lisa Taylor. And I remember back when we started doing high school ministry together, and then we also taught, Lisa started teaching women's Bible studies, but then I got to teach with her.
Well, mentoring is something that has meant a lot to me because of Miss Jan, and I really tried to soak up wisdom from her because I'm not wise, and really pass that on to students at my school or just wherever I'm living my life. It may not be vocally if I always can't. Also, what are you praying for yourself? She's continually asked me that. I tend to want to pray for other people. And just the lessons that she's taught me the past eight or nine years have just been amazing for my walk with Christ. And I don't know where I would be without her.
What's really interesting too is that I've had the opportunity to learn so much from Lisa and, you know, reuse that information and just share the gospel with younger women.
Yeah, I think it's obviously the most important work we can do here is for the kingdom, and whether it's vocally or with your example, I think you do that every day. It's really rewarding to get to see, you know, sometimes the girls that we can make an impact on forever.
Those first two talked about two that taught them, and then they taught two, and then those two, and then you saw those high schoolers walking in. It's the next generation. It's Paul to Timothy, to faithful men, to others. Well, I rejoice today that God's been teaching us generation to generation to generation to generation, from the Russo generation to the Passmore Hall generation to this building and then to the Corners building. You ought to go out there on Tuesday night sometime. You ought to just sneak in there and see what goes on Tuesday night. I spoke over at the Baptist College Ministry last Thursday night. I looked after at all those 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And I told them, I said, I graduated from college 42 years ago. They looked at me like, no. I said, yeah. And the same stuff I taught them is what they taught me when I was at Samford University going to Campus Crusade Bible study. It's what I tried to pour in to those kids. Thursday night, what I'll teach out here on Tuesday night. There are different needs in every generation, and we don't live in the same time that we lived in the 70s and certainly the 50s. It's a new day. There's a greater enemy that comes against us, but it remains the truth that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We must trust Him. There are three things we need to do this morning. Number one, everyone in this room needs to submit to Jesus. In a moment, when we sing a song, I'm going to ask you to come right here and submit to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to submit to Jesus. On that Warrington campus, I'm going to ask you to submit to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to go and talk with one of the folks back at Next Step Table. I want you to submit to Jesus. Secondly, we need to unite with others. Not only I want you to submit to Jesus, I want you to reach over and I want you to unite with others. You need to join a church. You need to join a small group. You need to get in a discipleship group. You need to. Some people say, preacher, can you help me find one? No. Find it yourself. There are all kinds of groups in this church. Then just get to know people. So I wouldn't know how to. Well, just ask two of your friends to get together and go to Starbucks early one morning or late one afternoon. Take your Bible and say, we're just going to open the Word of God. Number one, it'll scare everybody in there to death, so that's all right, do it. You need to unite with others in a church setting and then in a small group. You need to submit to Jesus, unite with others, then you need to walk with a few. Walk with a few. After you are a part of a large group, you need to get into a small group somewhere on an ongoing basis in this church. We call them connection groups, Sunday school classes, whatever you want to call it. You need to be there. Yesterday, I stood right here and preached a funeral for Tommy Cushing. Oh, my dear friend. Taught the Bible for over 40 years in this church. 40 years. He was my wife's first Sunday school teacher when we came here. Tommy had a liver condition and some other things, and finally the Lord called him home. I can't tell you the number of people who, since that funeral, have come and said, he taught me in that class. He walked with me. He spent time with me, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Amen. And here we are today standing on his shoulders. His daughter and son-in-law in a new church plant out in Colorado. I heard that come from out of the heart of God, but it comes out of the teaching of a father. Amen. And that'll continue to go on. And if the Lord tarries, we'll have the 250th anniversary of Olive Baptist Church. And you'll be dead. And I'll be dead. And someone will look back and say, well, I don't know who they were. You don't want that witness. You want your children and your children's children to look back. Say, he taught me the truth. He taught me truth. She put truth in me. You want to be Claude Wheeler in somebody's life. You do.